What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. Back today for a solo podcast here. Three shows per week from now through the end of the NFL season. Training camps are underway. We got to get ready for them. I am so excited to be here with you today, running through a super flex mock draft here today for 2022 redraft. We've got some news and notes that we're going to get to here in a minute, and then ripping through that super flex mock draft, walking through every single round, my thought process as I go throughout it. Really, really excited to kick this off. Before we get into it, though, like I mentioned here, we got some news items that we need to talk about. So let's run through these as quickly as possible. The news is flying here recently. We just did a podcast yesterday. We got a whole slew of notes that we need to run through here today. T. Higgins, the wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, is at 100% entering training camp, coming back off of off-season shoulder surgery in April. At 100% here, we should have no reservations drafting him as a top 12 wide receiver off the board. Michael Thomas is off the PUP list. This came as a bit of a surprise yesterday. He was out there running routes and was competing in practice there. We had kind of been hearing up to this point of training camp and throughout the offseason that Michael Thomas might not be ready for week one. We don't have a timetable on his return. Well, surprise, he's back on the field here. So he sits currently at wide receiver 30 in my rankings, with the potential to rise as we get more and more updates here about his progress coming back. I don't think that we are going to get Michael Thomas with Drew Brees and soaking up targets. Remember, you got Chris Olave. You have Jarvis Landry there. Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, assuming he doesn't get suspended. Now, Adam Troutman may be taking a step forward this year as well. There's other target competition here. 160-plus targets I don't see in the realm of possibilities here for Michael Thomas this year. Wide receiver 30 currently in my rankings. Keep in mind that it's been a while since we've seen him on the field. Antonio Gibson is practicing off to the side to begin training camp after suffering a minor hamstring injury during OTAs. Sounds like the Washington Commanders here are just trying to ease Antonio Gibson back into the swing of things here. This is not great news, though, for a player who we have seen banged up a little bit throughout the course of his early NFL career, for him to already be dealing with a hamstring injury when there is competition like Brian Robinson, like JD McKissick in his own backfield. A little bit concerning here. Antonio Gibson should be being drafted as a low-end RB2. Anything more than that, we should have a little bit of concern. Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf are both not practicing, but are present at their respective training camps as they wait their new contracts. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was activated off of the PUP list for Kansas City. Geno Smith is reportedly ahead of Drew Lock in the battle to be Seattle's starting quarterback here. This is decent news for DK Metcalf. When Geno Smith was the starting quarterback last year, Metcalf was actually producing pretty well. However, he was ridiculously efficient with that opportunity. I don't see that happening over the course of the entire season there for DK Metcalf this year with Geno Smith. So if you ask me, though, who would I rather have? I would rather have Geno Smith as a starting quarterback for DK Metcalf. He is a low-end wide receiver too in my rankings for 2022. Per Kyle Shanahan, Trey Sermon has done everything he can and is as yoked up as he can be. I put out facetiously on Twitter last week, what if Trey Sermon is actually the starting running back for San Francisco this year? Just because that's kind of what we have come to expect from San Francisco, and this is what we're getting here. So this is a backfield where it looks like Elijah Mitchell, but after that, it is a ton of unknowns. Jeff Wilson, TDP, Tyrion Davis-Price, who they drafted in the third round this year. Trey Sermon, who they drafted in the third round last year. A ton of unknowns here. We just don't know how this backfield is going to play out. For me, it's Elijah Mitchell as a low-end RB2, high-end RB3. After that, I want to kind of avoid this backfield if I can. Allen Robinson has the entire coaching staff, quote, in love with him and continues to impress them through the early part of training camp. There are a lot of people that are looking back at Allen Robinson in Chicago last year with Matt Nagy and are completely discounting or discrediting him based on that season. I am not one of these people. I think that looking at the situation that he's got in LA with Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp demanding attention, Allen Robinson can operate against number two corners and against single coverage, especially in the red zone. I think he is going to dominate this year. Continue to get Allen Robinson up your rankings. And finally, Russell Gage is fully healthy to open training camp after battling a bit of an injury so far this offseason. All right, this is your last chance to get entered into the Pristine Auction giveaway. Again, this is an AJ Brown-sized Eagle, signed Eagles full-size helmet, courtesy of Pristine Auction. To enter into this giveaway, go over to pristineauction.com/register, sign up with the code PLAYBOOK to get $10 off your first purchase, and then go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details. takes you less than 5 minutes to enter. If you want that link, it is in your show notes. If you're listening to the podcast, it is also in the YouTube description here over on YouTube. Speaking of podcasts and paying attention to what's in these show notes, while you are there, take a look at that rating and review section. I like to do this from time to time. Read a rating and review here. Always appreciate every single one that comes in. Always appreciate the feedback that you guys have. So I want to do these from time to time and point out some of these rating and reviews. This one comes in from Hayden C99. Yates is a great personality and adds a ton of value to the fantasy space. Glad he got to step out on his own and do his own thing. The Fantasy Playbook Podcast and company are valuable additions to the fantasy football space, and we're lucky to have them. Hayden, thank you so much for the rating and review there. If you are listening to this and you are enjoying the content here, make sure to go over, leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like this video. Make sure to hit the subscribe button. Let's get rolling. All right, Super Flex mock draft here today. We are going to go 15 rounds. I am drafting at the turn here in a 12-team league at the 112. I got the 2-1. Run through the roster settings here. We got a quarterback, 2 running back, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, 2 flex spots, and then the super flex spot on top of that, and then 5 bench spots. I've been getting a lot of questions already this offseason from people saying, well, I'm going into my first league ever that is a super flex league. How should I value the quarterback position? And this is really important to note. When you have never played super flex before, you have absolutely no idea how to value that quarterback position. So my guide that I typically look for here when looking at quarterbacks in super flex and how to properly value them is in a draft, I'm looking to walk out of the first 4 rounds with 2 starting quarterbacks. That is not a hard and fast rule. It is not even a strategy, something where I would go in and say, this is what exactly I'm deploying. It's looking at that as a guide to be able to say, this is how I should value that position. If you are only taking 1 quarterback in the first 4 rounds, the first 5 rounds, you're getting into some dangerous territory where you're looking at Matt Ryan as your QB2. That's not a world in which I want to live with here. So I'm going to walk through what that looks like here in this Superflex mock draft over on Sleeper. Let's get started. All right, the draft is underway here. I will walk through some of the picks here in the early rounds. And then as I am kind of thinking through the thought process again, I wanted to do this solo podcast so that way I could really spend some time talking through my thought process here and the players that I'm going to be selecting and kind of the strategy, the things that I'm looking at here when I am drafting on the turn. So Josh Allen at the 1-1, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Jonathan Taylor off the board. That is kind of what I'm expecting to see here within the first 4 picks. Pretty standard there. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow off the board, then Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Najee Harris, Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey at the 111. I am now on the clock at the 112. Looking at the top of the queue here, I've got guys like Austin Eckler, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry, Travis Kelce. These guys are staring me in the face. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to kind of pivot a little bit here. As I'm at the turn, the value and kind of playing that game of who I'm looking to draft here really goes out the window. So looking at the players that I'm liking this year. So I'm going to go here and try this in a mock draft. I'm going to see how it plays out. I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase here at the 112, getting that locked in top tier wide receiver to make sure that I have that cornerstone piece. There are some running backs that I still, you know, really like here on the board. Looking at guys like Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, if you scroll a little bit further down, he's still there. But I want to, at this point, see how it looks with going that wide receiver at the 112. Now I'm up at the 2-1 here, and I'm going to look at the quarterback position here because I don't pick again until the 312. And if I am letting that quarterback position slide and kind of rolling the dice on who's going to be there at the 312, could be looking at some very, very shaky names there. So I'm going to look at the quarterback position here. Dak Prescott is at the top of the queue. I'm a little bit lower on Dak than ADP here. Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr. You got Trey Lance a little bit further down the board. I think that he needs to rise up the ADP queue there. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts here, though. And I think Jalen Hurts has QB1 overall upside this year. Now, I don't necessarily think that he is going to continue to progress immensely as a passer. I still have a lot of concerns there. But when you have a receiving weapon like AJ Brown in town, it doesn't quite matter what you're getting out of Jalen Hurts this year as a passer, because all you have to do is get the ball in AJ Brown's hands and he can create. You got Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert there as well. Got some receiving weapons out of the backfield there as well in Philadelphia, on top of the rushing upside and what Jalen Hurts brings you. So I like Jalen Hurts a lot this year. Wanted to get that quarterback here at the 2-1. A lot of players went off the board in between my picks here. Some notable names. You got Dak Prescott at the 2-4, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford at the 2-6, 2-7, Joe Mixon at the 2-8, Travis Kelce at the 2-9, coming all the way around. 3-2 is Stephon Diggs, Alvin Kamara, Javonte Williams, Nick Chubb at the 3-4, 3-5, 3-6. Then Aaron Jones at the 3-8, Aaron Rodgers off the board at the 3-9, and Saquon Barkley went off the board right before me at the 3-11. All right, I'm now on the clock here at the 3-12 and looking at the quarterback position here, because again, I talked about that as a guide. I want to walk out of the first four rounds with two quarterbacks, and there are still some really, really solid quarterbacks on the board. Let's go for that rushing upside here. Let's get Trey Lance onto the roster. Now declared the starter. This has kind of been my expectation since last offseason. I did not think that they were going to go into this year with Jimmy Garoppolo. However, the shoulder surgery for Garoppolo really threw that timeline off of him being traded. Trey Lance is the starter this year, and I am going for the rushing upside with these quarterbacks. A stack of Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance as my quarterbacks there. Absolutely love it. Hey, fantasy sports fans, are you ready for a new challenge this year? Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an actual franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique and challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control over your team's future. You can build through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, and manage your team's salary cap. Do you think you can create a dynasty of champions? Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started on building your dynasty. Use the promo code PLAYBOOK for $5 off your next team. Again, that's sign up at dynastyowner.com to get started on building your dynasty today and use the promo code PLAYBOOK for $5 off of your next team. Let's take a look at the overall queue here. I've got guys like Kyle Pitts, Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, George Kittle, AJ Brown, Kirk Cousins, Breece Hall, James Conner, Keenan Allen. Those guys to choose from here. I've got the wide receiver. I want to balance out this roster just a little bit here. So I'm going to look at the running back position. I know he showed up to camp a little bit overweight. I get it. But the upside is 100% there for Leonard Fournette. The drafting of Rashad White, Keyshawn Vaughn's presence, Giovanni Bernard is still on that roster. Those guys don't scare me off of Leonard Fournette being a true three-down workhorse back in an offense that is going to continue to put up points. You know, Bruce Arians out as the head coach. He's not there anymore. You got Todd Bowles stepping in. But, I mean, Leonard Fournette, it's Tom Brady's offense. And Fournette is going to be in plenty of scoring opportunities. He was dominant as a receiver out of the backfield last year. And with a lot of uncertainty, right? What's this receiving core going to look like? I know you got Julio Jones in town. What's Russell Gage's involvement? No tight end, really, to begin the year with guys like Cameron Brate and Kyle Rudolph. I like Kate Otten progressing throughout the year, but Leonard Fournette's going to be needed as a receiver too. So as a guy that I can get as my RB1 at the 4-1, I've got him right on that low-end RB1, high-end RB2 territory and threshold there. Get Fournette off the board here at the 4-1. All right, if you want to follow along with the draft, got to go over to youtube.com/fantasyplaybook and follow through with the rest of these picks here, because I am not going to be able to keep up and talk through my thought process with each selection. I am now on the clock at the 5-12. Got Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance off the board, and then Leonard Fournette at the 4-1 on the board, on the clock at the 5-12. I'm set on the quarterback position for a while. I don't need to address that. I want to get a QB3 here, but I don't want to address that until 7th, 8th, 9th round. So I'm looking at the running back position here. I've got guys like Josh Jacobs, Elijah Mitchell, AJ Dillon, staring me in the face there. Then at the wide receiver position, I've got 20 seconds left on the clock. That's Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, Marquise Brown, Mike Williams. I think there's still some value there later on. So I'm going to go back to the running back position. I'm going to get AJ Dillon off the board here. I talked about Dillon on a recent podcast here, saying that I think he is one of the best values in drafts currently, where you can get him right now at the back end of the 5th round, early 6th round. I think he's going to be heavily involved around the goal line. I think he's going to be involved more as a pure running back this year. When you have Aaron Jones needed more as a receiver, and then you can get Dillon with the touchdown upside at the goal line in an offense that is going to put up points, regardless of who is playing wide receiver, plus the added upside if something were to happen, God forbid, to Aaron Jones. You've got AJ Dillon there with immense upside this year. You can get him in the back end of the 5th round, early 6th. I am very comfortable taking him there. Looking at the wide receiver position, I mentioned some of the names there. Looking a little bit further down, you've got guys all the way down. I mean, I could probably play the guessing game here, roll the dice with getting Allen Robinson at the 7-12. I don't want to play that game, though, especially for people who have been listening to me over the course of this offseason. If this was a league where I actually were playing with people who had listened to me, I am not going to get Allen Robinson back around that turn. I'm going to take him here, and this is a spot where I feel like he should be going, maybe even a bit earlier. Looking at that queue, for those who are watching over on YouTube, you saw that I had to scroll down. I had to scroll down to find Allen Robinson in the available ADP. He should be going here in the sixth round, fifth round. I'm even comfortable taking Allen Robinson in the fourth round, where you can get him much, much later, though. And that is a value point where I'm perfectly comfortable reaching just a little bit to make sure that I get Robinson onto my roster. Talked about him in the news section there. He's absolutely crushing it in training camp so far. I think he's in line for a big season. So as to pair him with Ja'Marr Chase, I absolutely love that. Let's hope his ADP stays around where it's at. I will have tons and tons of shares going into this year. All right, back on the clock at the 7-12 here. The running back position is kind of, this is kind of the point where I'm willing to let some of these guys go, and I will take some shots with some guys later on. Looking at the wide receiver position, though, you got guys like Rashad Bateman, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Treylon Burks, Devontae Smith, Drake London. Those are all guys that I think should be going just a little bit later in drafts rather than right now. There is one guy that I do have to scroll down a little bit. The ADP difference here in sleeper versus underdog is drastic for Gabriel Davis. I am going pure upside here with these wide receivers here. I'm going to take Gabriel Davis here. Another guy who is absolutely crushing it in his training camp as the wide receiver two here for the Buffalo Bills. He's in line for a big year here. So I can get him as my wide receiver three. That is not where he's going in underdog drafts, in these more competitive drafts currently. I expect Gabriel Davis's ADP to rise. So I'm going to take advantage of that now, get him here at the 7-12. I talked about that strategy and kind of how to value that quarterback position here. Looking at my guys, I've got Jalen Hurts, I've got Trey Lance. This is kind of the point where I'm beginning to look at that QB3 on my roster. But you're looking at guys like Mac Jones, Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston, Zach Wilson. I'm going to take Jameis Winston here just to make sure that I lock up that third quarterback, because I will be the first one looking at the overall board. I'll be the first one to take that third quarterback, and I'm fine doing that. I don't want to end up with Daniel Jones, Mac Jones as my QB3, Davis Mills, Jared Goff. I don't want to play that game where I can get Jameis Winston, where I think he's actually going to open things up in this offense a little bit more this year. I am very excited to get Jameis Winston here as that QB3 and pair alongside Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance. If Hurts and Lance hit, I will never need Jameis Winston outside of bye weeks, and I am perfectly comfortable with that. All right, let's go back here. I'm at the 9-12 on the clock, looking at the running back position here. Chase Edmonds, James Cook, Melvin Gordon, Ramondre Stevenson, Michael Carter, some of the names that are on the board there. The wide receiver position, you're looking at Adam Thielen, Garrett Wilson, Tyler Lockett, Chris Olave, Christian Kirk. These are all guys that I think are fine, but I am going to also take a look at the tight end position. Pat Freiermuth, Cole Kmet, Albert Okwuegbunam, Irv Smith, Noah Fant. Not necessarily guys that I'm looking to invest here too. And this is interesting because a lot of teams have already taken tight ends. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think every team outside of two others have taken a tight end already. So I can wait. I can push that down the board until the 11th, 12th round. I can get David Njoku. If I can get Irv Smith, if I can get Cole Kmet, even Gerald Everett in the last round, I'm fine with that. So I'm going to look away from that tight end position. Go back to the running back position, because I talked about with in the sixth round, the seventh round, the guys that I'm looking at in that range that I think we're going off the board, like the Damian Harris's, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire's, the Miles Sanders. Those are not players that I'm looking to invest in this year. I think that is a point where there's some really good wide receiver value. So this is now the point where I actually have a few running backs that I actually like, and I'm going to go Ronald Jones here. I've talked about Jones a lot already this offseason as a player that I think is in line for a big year here in Kansas City. As the first and second down back alongside Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think he's in line for a big year. So I'll get Ronald Jones here at the 9-12. Had to even go a little bit further down ADP, reach for him just a little bit here. All right, at the 10-1, thinking about double dipping here as I've got some wide receiver targets that I, knowing the mock drafts and kind of the ADP here over on sleeper, I think I can wait a little bit and get some of those wide receivers that I like a little bit later on. At the 10-1 though, I am going to go here at the running back position, go for the upside here of Alexander Mattison. I'm going to play this out and see if I can get Damian Pierce back to me around the turn. But as my RB4, RB5 on my roster, Alexander Mattison is going to be a smash selection for me every single time. Alongside Dalvin Cook there, he might not, you know, scratch my starting lineup at any point throughout the season until Dalvin Cook gets injured. But when Cook misses time, and we have to say that at this point, when Cook misses time, not if Cook misses time, when Cook misses time, Madison is going to be a top 12 fantasy football running back. So for a player that you can get as your RB4, let him sit on your roster. Let him just continue to, you know, just sit there, wait until you need him. I love drafting Alexander Mattison this year for that upside as my RB4. I mentioned that strategy of trying to see if I could get Dameon Pierce back to me at the 11-12. It played out. I'm going to take Dameon Pierce here, the rookie running back for the Houston Texans. Now, a lot of people are going to hear that. If you are just tuning back in to fantasy football, you're going to hear that name. You're like, the running back for the Houston Texans? Are you nuts? Dameon Pierce was criminally underutilized at Florida. The talent on tape is 100% there, not just as a first and second down back, a power back at the goal line, but he's excellent in pass protection and a smooth receiver out of the backfield. He has three down potential here. And his competition in this backfield is Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead. Neither of those guys really scare me off of what Dameon Pierce can be. So Pierce here, you might have to wait a week or two for him to really hit his stride and become a relevant fantasy player. But as my RB5, I can wait on. All right, at the 12-1, go into the wide receiver position. I mentioned some of those targets that I can wait on and get. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is sitting there for me here at the 12-1, and I will continue to draft MVS as long as he is in this range of ADP and remains of value. If I can get him as that flex player on my roster where I can live with the potential ups and downs, but then the upside is there if he really does become more of a well-rounded receiver here in Kansas City. There's been some reports that he was really kind of stuck into this very narrow role as that deep threat in the Green Bay offense. And, you know, it's understandable. You've got Alan Lazard, you've got Davante Adams at that point. Like, the opportunity for him to be anything other than a field stretcher really wasn't there. However, if he can build on the fact that he had zero drops last year, I think that there's a potential here that MVS could become more of a proven wide receiver, a top 30, a more consistent fantasy contributor for my lineup. If not, I've got that boom potential there as the deep threat for Patrick Mahomes in this offense to give me those boom weeks. All right, at the 13-12, Tim Patrick went off the board one pick before me. Always looking to grab Tim Patrick at this range of ADP. Let's take a look here at the tight end position, though. Tight ends went off the board in this draft. All right, Irv Smith, you had guys like Noah Fant, Hunter Henry, Robert Tonyan, David Njoku. They have all gone off the board. So at this point, I'm just going to punt the position. I will wait until the final round here. When everyone else is going tight end heavy for some reason in this mock draft, I will gladly pivot and take up some of the more valuable positions here. So QB3 is kind of, I don't need a QB4 necessarily in these super flex formats unless there's really an incredible value for me. Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, Marcus Mariota, those aren't doing it. I'm going to go to the running back position. 13-12, I'll take Khalil Herbert here. Haven't talked much about Khalil Herbert here recently on the podcast, but I spent a lot of time early on in the offseason talking about Herbert and the offensive scheme that Luke Getsy is bringing in from Green Bay, utilizing multiple running backs, Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon last year. You got David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert in an outside zone scheme, which is what they're bringing in as Luke Getsy is underneath the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. Khalil Herbert fits that better. So you could have this thunder and lightning approach here with David Montgomery, with Herbert, and then the upside, if something does happen to David Montgomery, again, we don't want to wish that upon anyone, but we're looking at that and taking that into account when we're talking about these players from a fantasy perspective. Khalil Herbert off the board at the 13-12 for my lineup as my RB6. So if some of these guys hit, I will have valuable trade pieces when other guys were taking tight ends that, you know, no one's going to trade for in your league. But if Khalil Herbert, you know, becomes a starting running back here, if Dameon Pierce becomes a starting running back, I have valuable trade pieces. That's kind of the way to approach this in the later rounds. Looking at the wide receiver position, as I am now up at the 14-1, I'm going to go Joshua Palmer, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers here. Reports are coming out that he is the wide receiver 3 in this offense over Jalen Guyton. Now, the talent level between Palmer and Guyton really isn't close, but Guyton filled a very specific role for this offense as the field stretching player. So Palmer, though, if he is coming in here to be that wide receiver 3 alongside Keenan Allen, alongside Mike Williams in a dynamic offense, an offense that is going to throw the ball a ton this year with a talented quarterback like Justin Herbert, why are we not drafting Joshua Palmer a lot earlier than when you can get him currently? So Palmer there, I am loving this team here. Palmer off the board at the 14-1. All right, final selection here at the 15-12. I do need to draft a tight end here at some point, and I do not have any other points to draft. So I will look at the tight end position here. You got guys like Austin Hooper, Evan Engram, Hayden Hurst, Logan Thomas, who's going to start the year on the pup, Trey McBride, Mo Alley Cox. None of these guys are really enticing to me. So I'm going to go with the best offense here, right? You look at Jacksonville, not an offense that I think is going to be anything more than middle of the pack. Tennessee, they are very, very run heavy. I think that the receiving the target opportunity for Austin Hooper in this offense really isn't there. Cincinnati, though, the opportunity. We saw CJ Uzomah pop off at several points last year, and I think Hayden Hurst is more talented than CJ Uzomah. He's been buried on depth charts up to this point of his career. I think he can be a borderline relevant option some weeks. So that's kind of what I'm looking for here. Go with Hayden Hurst to close out this draft at the 15-12. All right, to run through the rest of my roster here, pull this up so that way everyone on YouTube can see it. And Ja'Marr Chase at the 1-12. Then Jalen Hurts at the 2-1. Trey Lance at the 3-12. Love that quarterback grouping there in a super flex format. Leonard Fournette, AJ Dillon, Allen Robinson, Gabriel Davis at the 6-1 and 7-12. Jameis Winston, Ronald Jones, Alexander Mattison, Damian Pierce. I talked about that. The 6th round, the 7th round, the 8th round. That's where you can get some of these fantastic values at wide receiver when you see other running backs like Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ken Walker, Miles Sanders go off the board. I will gladly take those wide receiver values at that point. Wait, come back around, get Ronald Jones, Alexander Mattison, Damian Pierce, even Isaiah Spiller at that point of ADP. And then, so that was Damian Pierce at the 11-12 as my RB5 on my roster. Then Marquez Valdes-Scantling at the 12-1. Khalil Herbert off the board at the 13-12. Joshua Palmer, and then Hayden Hurst to wrap up the draft. Tight end position, don't like it, but I am very strong in every other roster spot there. Looking at, again, talking about that strategy where you see, I mean, you look at this draft board over on YouTube, look at all the orange spots. Look at all the players that were drafted at the tight end position. That is crazy. When so many other players are just forsaking value and taking a second tight end, things like that, that's where you pivot. That's where you get these running backs that have the upside. Then if something does go their way, you can then trade them off for a tight end plus something else, right? So that's a way to approach it when you kind of see and analyze the rest of the draft as it's playing out. All right, thank you so much for following along. That was a Superflex half PPR mock draft here for 2022. Remember to enter into the AJ Brown signed Eagles full-size helmet courtesy of Pristine Auction. Go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details on how to enter. You can find the link for that in the show notes on your podcast or in the YouTube description here on YouTube. Thank you so much for following along. All right, that'll do it. I'm Kyle Yates, and I'll see you next time.